was saved in 1951, November. And in 1952, July, the last week in June and the first week in July, I had the privilege to sit under Brother Ray for 2 weeks. He had just begun to come into our section, so far as I knew, around. And just a few weeks after I saved, I heard about him being in a place, and I went to hear him preach. He spent the night with him in an all-night prayer meeting. And I learned from the very first time I met him that he was a man with a tremendous burden for the work of the Lord. And a man of deep power and piety for God. He doesn't believe in any foolishness. He believes in doing business for God.
Amen.
And I praise God.
Yes, sir.
And in that meeting, God did something for me that I've never gotten over.
Amen.
And then about a year passed, and I was called into the ministry and had a serious lung seizure. And I won't go into the details, but the doctor said that I'd never preach anymore. I preached about 6 months when it came. And they said, you'll never preach again. So I, of course, I knew better deep in my heart. I doubted at times, but I knew down in my heart if God called me, he didn't make no mistake. And I rested on that. And I saw Brother Ray along about that time. He was in a meeting. And I went up to him and I said, Brother Ray, and he said, I've already heard about it. And he took me in his arms. And he said, you're going to be all right. That's all he said, and he walked off. And that was about, that's 7 years ago. And so you can see why I appreciate and love this man of God. Since then, I've had the privilege to be with him in meetings. He's been in my churches. And we've had times together in prayer. And I praise the Lord for it. And I'm just thrilled to death that God sent him to this meeting.
Amen.
I felt like God wanted him. And I talked to some of the other preachers, and they said, if you feel that way, we want him to come. Some of them never heard Brother Ray. Some have. And it's really pushed him to be here. He just closed the camp last week. I suppose about 1,500 young people. And he goes day and night during that camp. He runs everything. And you just couldn't understand it unless you've ever been to the camp. And he's come out of that tremendous strain, and I'm sure he's physically tired, but God's able to help him.
Yeah,
and I want us to cover us to pray that God will refresh him, help him, as he comes to preach. Brother Ray, you come and bring God's message to our heart. Brother Percy Ray from Myrtle, Mississippi.
And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them.
Amen.
When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against it, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Simply saying, when you go to pray, if you got anything in your heart against anybody, you have to get it out. If you expect God to answer you. God's hand has not been shortened that he cannot see. God's ear is not deaf that he cannot hear, but our sins have separated between us and him, and his it were his faith. If we regard iniquity in our heart, he won't hear us. So he said, when you go pray, if you've got anything in your heart against anybody, get it out. In order that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive your sin. Because if you don't forgive, neither can you get forgiveness. You said that you don't understand how I was mistreated. God does.
Right.
And he said, you're not going to get any forgiveness of your sins until you forgive.
Right.
Somebody said some time ago to me, he said, how can you ever forget so-and-so who treated you like they did? I said, how can I afford not to?
Amen.
Because of the simple reason that I need to get out every day and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins.
Amen, brother.
You say, you'll preach your sin? Yes. If you say you don't, you're a liar.
Amen.
And I need to ask God to forgive me of my sins, but I can't get nowhere if I got anything in my heart against anybody else. That's the requirement that God laid down. I didn't lay it down. Somebody else didn't lay it down. God passed it. And it's spoken, and it's never been changed, and it's not going to be. As long as you got anything in your heart against anybody, you just beat in the air when you pray. You might as well save your breath and energy. Because God isn't going to do anything about it. That came from the 11th chapter of the book of Mark. Let us pray. Our Father tonight,
yes.
We bow in your presence.
Oh, Lord, yes.
Confess our sins of lust and of pride and of self and foolish jesting, evil thoughts, idle talk, ugly walk. Anything else, dear God, you've seen amiss in us, we're sorry of it. We're ashamed of it. We pray, oh God, that you'll forgive us tonight and cleanse us, that there may be nothing between us. We've come to behold you and to adore you,
yes,
and to pour out our affections toward you,
yes,
and to worship you, and to honor you. Yet we can if our lives are not clean.
Right.
So we pray you'll cleanse us from all of our sins,
yes,
tonight.
Yes, yes.
Leave us in your presence, our Father, with expecting of the blessings to come upon us. We pray that you'll bar nothing from us tonight that's good. Oh, God, bless this people.
Yes.
Bless, our Father, these preachers.
Oh,
their fields of labor.
Still in God.
And oh, God, may this be a time of refreshment.
Oh, yes.
Time of revival.
Yes.
And we'll be grateful to you for it in Jesus' name, yes, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
It's prayer time. Jesus said, when you go to pray, when it comes prayer time, when you go to pray, have faith in God.
Amen.
Not in yourself.
Amen, brother.
Not in your ability to pray. Not in your prayers. But have faith in God.
Amen.
A lot of folks got faith in their prayers.
Right.
A lot of folks got faith in their sex. But he said, when you go to pray, have faith in God.
Amen.
Not in yourself and not in your prayers, but in God. A lot of times we don't get anywhere because we got our faith in the wrong thing.
That's right.
Then we come, my friends, to recognize there's a need in our lives. And Jesus is saying, have faith in God. But he had just put a curse upon the fig tree and withered away because there was no fruit on it. Now I wonder if he walked down the aisles tonight and looked us over if he has to curse, put a curse on us and wither us because there's no fruit. And then he made a whip and kicked the money changers' tables over and run out of the temple and said, you made the house of prayer a den of thieves. Get out of here. I'm wondering if he'd come in some of our churches if he wouldn't take a whoop and whoop part of us out. And tell us we'd come there for the wrong purpose. And Jesus said, when and if you have faith in God, you can say to the mountains, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. And if you won't doubt in your heart, then whatsoever you say shall come to pass. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you have them. Not because you pray, but because you believe. And so, my friends, as a result of it, it's come that time when we must face the fact that prayer time, there's not a mountain in the way that can't be moved if you've got the faith.
Right.
You've got the faith of the grain of mustard seed, you can move the mountain.
Amen.
What is the faith of the grain of the mustard? It's about the least seed there is.
Right.
But that mustard seed comes up there and there's a big old mountain over it. And it doesn't get discouraged and quit. It just begins to spread its roots and grow its stalk a little bigger, a little bigger. You'll try to make that crook and that stalk push that mountain. It won't do it. Don't get discouraged. Just spread its roots deeper out and grow a little stronger. Then it'll try to unfold, move that mountain. It don't do it. It don't give up. It just keeps spreading its root and digging and building a foundation and digging a bigger, building a bigger stalk. And after a while, when she starts to curl up, she knocks that mountain all the way and up she comes. Now, trouble is, my friends, we bump against the mountain one time and we quit. Instead of going back and with faith reaching deeply into the Word and into the promises of God and try it again, that dog bucket would go back and claim the promises again and grow strong in the Word. So the first thing you know, we've got strength enough to move the mountain, push it out of the way. So as a result, Jesus is saying, have faith in God, not in the preacher, not in the singing, not in the crowds, not in the place, but in God. Not in the methods, not in the program, but have faith in God. And so, if we've got the faith in God, then we can move the mountains. If we've got the faith in God and keep the doubt out of our heart, my friends, nothing is impossible with God. Jesus could do no mighty work down in Nazareth. Why? Not because it's Jesus, but because of the hardness of the heart and the unbelief of the people. There's nothing wrong with Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing wrong with Jesus now. He's in here and up here with us. He's still the same Christ that he always was. And when he's down in Nazareth, he's the same Christ on the shore of Galilee. He's the same Christ he was in other places. But no matter what's the place, because of the hardness of their hearts and the unbelief. So my friends, there's nothing wrong with Jesus. He's still the same Christ, the same God. But our hearts have hardened. Right. Our faith has wavered. And so as a result, we need to increase our faith. And Jesus said what you need to do is you strengthen your faith, if you increase your faith, if you build your faith, if you build up that faith, then you can move the mountain out of the way. Amen. And so as a result, have faith in God, not anything else. You don't have faith in some scheme or some plan or some program or some method. You don't have faith in some preacher or some song. You have it in God. Amen. And then as a result, it comes to pass. Have faith in God. What God is he talking about? The great I Am. Jehovah God. The creator of the heavens and the universe. He's the great masterful engineer who sits at the controls of this universe. He's the one, my friends, that brought it into existence. He's the architect and designer of the world. And Jesus, my friends, was there as the builder of it. And the whole, he was the superintendent. And the Holy Spirit, my friends, came and brought it about as the superintendent. You see, God designed it. Jesus moved in, the Holy Spirit moved on. And it got built, the whole universe. Let us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's the architect and designer of it. He sits at the controls of it. And so as a result, have faith in God. He's not some Santa Claus stuff. He's not some Easter rabbit myth. He's God. He's not some long, white-haired, white-whiskered Santa Claus. Of Alaska, there's 1,500 different wildflowers blooming with beauty and fragrance of no other state in the Union. And over in the state of Oklahoma, there's 1,161 different kind of wildflowers blooming with all the beauty and the fragrance. God put those flowers out there. God made them bloom. God made them perfume the community. He's the one that did it. And God started creating grasses. He created over 1,000 different kind of grass. Crabgrass, sagegrass, Bermuda grass, Timothy grass, and so on. Now, I'm not trying to get your mind on 1,000 grass. I'm trying to get your mind on the fact that God's the creator. He's back of all the life, you see. That God's back of all of that. That's the one Jesus is talking about. He started out, my friends, creating apples. There's over 1,000 different kind of apples. I like golden delicious, red delicious, Arkansas black, and limber twig, and so on. Over 1,000 different kinds of apples. He started out, my friends, created many things. For example, bees, like the bumblebee and the honeybee, and the alligator. There's, my friends, over 6,000 bees. Different kind of bees. No, not 6,000. One kind, 6,000 different kind. He started making butterflies, like so around the flowers in the yard and the garden. Spotted ones, white ones, brown ones, striped. Over 8,000 different kind of butterflies. I'm not trying to get your mind on flowers. I'm trying to get you to see God's alive and produce this one. That's my Father. And yours if you're saved. That's the one Jesus is talking about. And then my friends, the same God. We come and look again. We see him doing other things. We see created hummingbirds to suck the nectar out of the flowers. And there's over 500 different kind of hummingbirds. No, not 500. One kind, 500 different species. That's a little bird that flutters his wings, got a long beak, sticks his beak into the flower, and then bats off. And goes and sticks his beak in the flower, and gets the nectar, and bats off. His reverse gear is better than the father gear. And I know a lot about this, just like that hummingbird. They'll run down church and get him a good blessing, and back off and get in reverse. You can't catch him again for 6 months. We got a lot of hummingbird Baptists. My friends, then God made 20,000 different kind of birds, jaybirds, redbirds, bluebirds, blackbirds, 20,000 different kind of species of birds. And all of them keep their type, and all of them keep their species. They don't mix up and mingle up either. You can just remember that. And as a result, out of the 20,000 different kind of birds God made, the mockingbird is the most innocent to me. That mockingbird can mock every known bird that is. Now you think of one little bird with 20,000 different kind of tunes in her throat. That's the reason it runs all night long. You hear the mockingbird in the top of the trees at midnight sometimes. Early in the morning, early. Oh, hummingbird just sing away. She's got 20,000 different songs to play and sing. And yet, my friends, think of one bird with 20,000 different tunes in her vocal cords. And yet, my friends, she hadn't got a song of her own. All she can do is imitate, you know? She hadn't got a song of her own song. And that's a lot of trouble. A lot of our babies are running around imitating. About 10% run this thing, and the other 9% run down the hill like the wild hogs the demons got in there for the rest of them. Instead of being somebody for God and for themselves and being individuals. So my friends, along with that, God's God to make beetles like bean beetles and eat up your beans and peas and so on. There's over 200 different kind of beetles. And then there's over 40,000 different kind of moths. Like eat up to the moths that fly around the lights at night. These old miller moths and so on. Over 40,000 different kind of moths. Different species of them. Now I'm not trying to get your mind off on bugs and butterflies and things. I'm trying to get to see that God, back of all this life, is the living God that created it all, controls it all, keeps it going. Yeah. My friends, if you don't think he has control, go back and read in the book of Genesis. When Noah got the ark through, he didn't have to get out and chase everything down. God drove the whole outfit in. Amen. They come, male and female of every creature. King. Noah didn't chase them in. God put them in.
Amen.
My friends, he's still putting them around giving them their instinctive natures and putting them around the lights, around the flowers, or wherever they're supposed to be. There's over 1,200 million different kinds of insects that the bugologists have tabulated. We don't have any more, but we know there's 12 million different kinds of insects. My friends, God made every one of them and gave every one of them their nature of activity. That's my Father and yours.
Amen.
If we're saved.
Amen.
That's the thing Jesus is talking about, how faith in God. He started making fish. He made 20,000 different kinds of fishes, catfish, cockfish, perch fish, bass fish, drum fish, and so on. The most famous fish I've ever seen is the electric fish. He casts around in his body enough electricity to knock a man out 100 feet away in the water. If you're getting 100 feet up, you don't like it. He starts charging electricity out and enough to knock you out. Now you think of a fish carrying its own electric generating dynamo and just shooting electricity all over the water and knocking a fellow out. But we've got them. In the western waters, they got those kind of fish. Well, it took a great job to make a fish with an electric generating motor in him. And when he wants to charge electricity out in the water, he just does it. Now, I'm not trying to get your mind off on fishes, but the thing I want you to see, my friends, is if God can do that through a fish, how much more can He do the Spirit through us?
Amen.
My friends, God can charge us up with the Spirit of God so we hit everything around us.
Amen.
You say, preach, I don't know nothing. I do.
Amen.
My friends, read about those early apostles when they walked around. If the cripple fell under the shadow of them, they healed that cripple. My friends, they read about old Charles G. Finney. He wants some more modern things. And when Charles G. Finney walked in a cafe, the Spirit of God ran out of all the people from the cooks back in the cook rooms and fell under conviction. The waiters and the customers would pass out and fall over on the floor. They walked down through the factories, and the factories had to close. And old Finney went down through the factory because the power of God just flowed out of them like a river. And that's the way He said it on the floor.
Amen.
And we need to have enough faith to get us charged up to where the time to pass somebody, if they're not right of God, and get them on a
condition.
Where they can't stand it. That's the thing I'm talking about tonight.
Amen.
Then God started making lessons. He made 1,800 different kind of lessons. Striped ones, brown ones, smooth ones, smooth ones, green ones, and all kinds. The most innocent lesson out of the whole crew. And if God made the 1,800 different species, is that old changing lizard. Some of these high school students tell you his technical name. I call him changing lizard. Gets on something black, he turns black. Gets on something green, he turns green. Gets on something brown, he turns. I used to chase those things a half a day at a time on different color things to see if he'd wear his color now. He never did. Every time you get him on something else, he'd change that color. I know some doctors like that. They get with a gossiping crowd that gossips. They get with a cussing crowd that cusses. They get with a dancing crowd that dances. They get with a backbiting crowd that backbiters and haters and tattlers. And they get with a praying crowd that prayers. They get with a honky tonk crowd, they're honky tonking. They get with a church going crowd, they go to church. Guess what other crowd they get with? That's their kind. I'd hate to be a change in worship. I'd decide what I was and do something.
Amen.
So folks wouldn't have to wonder what I was. God started to make an ant. They made over 3,000 different kind of ants. A-N-T-S is more than 3,000 A-U-N-T kind. But my friends, they got to make an ant. They have dairy herds, milk maids, armies, and they build 18-story buildings. Stairs go down, houses go up. But the ants have got more sense than we got. They have a surplus, they store it, they don't burn it and waste it and throw it in the river. Then when a lean day comes, they got plenty, they can go back to the storage room.
That's right.
And then, my friends, we turn and look from down, we look into the planet world. I'm talking about what God's doing tonight.
Amen.
My friends, we look around, there's over 500 billion heavenly bodies up there in the universe. 500 billion heavenly bodies. And not a one of them crashes with the other. They're wheeling that unbelievable speed, but never one of them collides with another. We can't walk down the sidewalk without bumping each other. But the great God of this universe has got 5 billion heavenly bodies swirling in space so fast you can't even see them. And my friends, not a one of them will ever crash through them. Why? The master of engineers sitting at the control room. They tell us now they've found another moon that measures 400 miles in diameter. They tell us they found another star, the telescopic men recently, that measures 1,000,000 miles across, 1,000,000 miles in diameter, hanging on the axis of nothing. If it ever hits the earth, we'll all be flat as a feather when it hits. But the matter of fact, just think of the great God of this universe sitting at the control of all these planets in the world, and then whirling at an unbelievable speed.
Amen.
And yet, my friends, He keeps them all under control.
Yes. Right.
If God can do those things, He can keep us under control if we're with it. That's what Jesus has said. You get with God and have faith in God, He has power to control the mountains, move the mountains, shake the mountains, and yet, on the other hand, my friends, not only he is the great master of engineering and these other things, but he's technically skillful. They tell us now they've found a little bug. He's so small, you can put 1,000,000 of them in 1 drop of water and can't see them with the natural eye. 1,000,000 bugs in 1 drop of water can't be seen with the natural eye. That's how small they are. But they took the most powerful magnifying glass they had and operated on, found that little bug had 100 stomachs and ended 32 legs. In the 12 hours, a white snake comes down his back, splits him in two, and there's 2 bugs with 100 stomachs and 32 legs. You mathematicians will figure, my friends, in a month's time, there'll be a billion of those bugs born all of them with 100 stomachs and 32 legs. I mean, you see, what if God multiplied your family that fast? All of them with 32 feet and 100 stomachs can't hardly fill the one they have got. Shot the 2 feet they have got. But the thing I want you to see is not about, but if God is technically skillful enough to put 100 stumps in something that small and put 30 legs on him in 12 hours, split him open, there's two of them with 100 stumps and 30 legs. If God can do that, how much more can he do a thing as big as Central Baptist Camp
Meeting?
If he can do that little bump, what can he do to you and I? Bigger deal. That's the thing I want us to see. Jesus said, have faith in God. If God is so technically skillful, he can do that. He's skillful enough to produce a camp meeting out here.
Right.
And a slip more Carolina for God's glory. That's the thing I want you to see, man. Jesus said, have faith in God. Not only the creative power of God, but have faith in the, my friends, not only in the reality of God, but have faith in the power of God. He's the one that has all power in heaven and earth. Right. It's all invested in him. All of the elements are his control. My friends, he can turn on a freeze. He can turn on a heat wave. He can drop a star. He can make a locust eat itself. He can make the frogs run us out to bed. He can do any of it. He can turn our water into blood. My friends, he can send a tornado and sweep us away. All of the elements is on his side.
That's right.
I have faith in God.
Amen.
He's got all of the elements in this universe. He can quake the earth. He can flood the earth. He can turn on fire and melt the earth. He can do anything. He's got the power to get the dead out of the grave. Right? He's got the power. My friends, to do any of it. That's what I'm talking about. Have faith in God. He has all power in heaven and earth. Not all of my friends, have faith in the reality of God, the personality of God. But my friends, have faith in the promises of God.
Yeah.
My friends, he said, all things whatsoever you shall ask in my name, believe in you shall receive. If you'll ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so, my friends, he's promised. If he promised something, then we'll have to stand good or won't be God.
Right.
And he's not coming off the throne by line.
Right.
And so, my friends, we must put our faith in the promise of God, not in the promise of a man, not in the promise of somebody else, but in the promise of God. Politicians make promises and break them. But God never breaks any promise he makes. When he speaks it, it's over. It's done. He don't change it. He never does. Modifies it. It's just so when God speaks it. And then so let's put our faith in the promise of God, and then in the presence of God. My friends, listen. He said, if two or three of you gather together in my name, I'll be there.
Amen.
And hear me. You didn't build this house down here for a dance hall or a honky-tonk or a juke joint. You built this and dedicated to God as a place to worship him.
Amen.
Now then, God said, I've accepted it. It's a house of sacrifice. My ears will be attending to the prayers made in here. And he said, my eyes is there continually.
Amen.
And then my heart is there.
Amen.
So then, he said, if you two or three of them come together in my name, I'll be there.
Yes.
So, Brother Frank Gribble is here. Brother Kubarbara said, if two or three of us down here, then he's going to be there.
Amen.
You believe he's here, well, you believe Pastor Ray's here now. You believe he's here, well, you believe any preacher's here now. And if you do, he's here. His ears is listening, his eyes is looking, and his heart is feeling what we're doing down here.
Amen.
And so we must have faith in the presence of God.
Amen.
Not only the power and the promises and the real personality of God in the presence of God. But my friends, we must recognize that Jesus is here to do business with us.
Amen.
He's here to do business. He said, I'm going to go to my Father. If you'll ask anything in my name, I'll do it. He's sitting right there at the right hand of the Father. And when we go to him, he just hands it right into the Father and gets it done for us.
Amen.
We must face the truth of it tonight.
Yeah.
And then we must have faith, my friends, that God answers prayer. God's a prayer answering God.
Yes.
Amen.
He does still answers prayer. My friends, he answered some for me yesterday and the day before. My friends, he answered one I've been praying for years.
Amen.
Just last Sunday morning, I seen one of the wickedest women in the state of Mississippi walk the aisles of the church, get up and tell the church there's never been a meaner woman walk on the face of God's earth. That I have, and I'm right with God this morning.
Amen.
I want to follow the Lord into this church.
Thank God. Amen.
Hear me. My friends, that was an answer of her mother and mine pray.
Amen.
God brought me in.
Yeah.
He did.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah. So my friend, I'm saying God answers prayer.
Yeah.
Well, God answers prayer. Look at old Hagar. Abram sent her out with a bottle of water and a little bit of food. Old Hagar got out there and run out of water. Run out of food. And she put the little fellow down to some little shrubbery that died. Went off out there and got out and began to pray. And an angel stood by Hagar and said, Hagar, what's the matter with you? Said, my child's done. Said, no, he isn't. God heard your prayer, and he isn't going to die. There's some water. Water him. There's some cold feet. Now, friend, God answered Hagar.
Amen.
And you give up some of your loved ones to die and go to hell. You don't have to. He'll pray to the God Hagar prayed to.
Amen.
Our friends and pray like she prayed. The angels will come by and say, they ain't going to hell. They're going to get saved. There's the way to get them saved. Here's the way to the altar. Here's the way to God.
Amen.
Then my friends, old Hannah prayed to God. God heard Hannah. Amen. Hannah began to pray. She didn't have any child. She was barren. Medical science said she couldn't have one. Nature said she couldn't have one. Everything about her said she couldn't have one. But old Hagar went down to the meeting house of God. And she said, I'll just stay here and let God give me one. And old Hannah began to pray. And she began to pray. Her husband went down and said, Hannah, you come on home. You're going to lose your reason. You're going to have a nervous breakdown over this thing. Come on home. You prayed enough. God's heard you. You know. She just kept praying. He went over to the priest and said, you better go down and get my wife home. She's going to have a nervous breakdown now. Sue you. And the priest got all jittery and nervous and shook up. And he went down and said, now, Sister Anna, you prayed. You know God heard your prayer. Your husband's about to have a breakdown. You better go home. You're wrecked. Go home. Old Hannah just kept praying. Now, some people in the community said, listen, have y'all heard the news? Old Hannah. She's one of the finest women we ever had in the country. But she's gone, cracked up on religion. She's gone whole over. She's become some un-Baptistic here. And we just can't do a thing with the preacher, can't do nothing with her. Husband can't do nothing with her. She's gone over at all. She's gone off at the DP and poor old thing. Isn't it pitiful? She's going to be such a disgrace to the community. Oh, Hannah, go haywire. Hannah went to the priest and said, that'll learn the whole religion set up here. If she loses her mind over religion, it'll disgrace religion. You better do something. He couldn't get her to go, and he said, okay, I'm going to do something. He went down and sealed her mouth.
Woo!
But it wasn't her mouth, no house. He was fair pay. And stealing her mouth, did wicked her pay.
Amen.
He just kept on going on and couldn't go out to the mountain without to the top of her head.
Amen.
But anyway, it got to God.
Amen.
And God nudged her. And said, you don't have a child. Go home. And she had one. My friends, what in the said it's impossible, not so. I was down recently in South Carolina some time ago. A few months ago, I was down there. One of the finest young couples in the church, his fathers that lived good lives for God, they come and he and his wife and had a counseling time with me and said, we want a child. And the doctor said, it's an impossibility. Do you suppose God will give you one? I said, no. I don't suppose. I know. We got everything out of the way. All sins fessed up and cleansed. Last God. I was down through that other day. And he come around and said, guess what? I said, it's on its way. Said, it's nearly here. Now, friends, God in our business. Have faith in God. Amen. A lot of them, my friends, were afraid somebody would call us holy roll and I'm Baptist. My friends, have a faith in God and forget people will go somewhere for God. I was over in the state of Arkansas. While I was over there, there's a godly little woman, Mrs. Pope, came to me. She just weighed about 85 pounds. Good, fine little lady, great Christian. She come to me and said, Brother Ray, you think I'd go to hell if I committed suicide? I said, have you been saved? She said, sure, you know I've been saved. Really been born again. I said, well, that's what I thought. I said, now Jesus didn't save you on the basis of suicide. You're not suicidal.
Oh, he did.
And he'll let you go ahead just as quick from a suicide death as he would a pneumonia death. Because he didn't save you on the basis of suicide in the beginning. He saved you because you trusted in Jesus. And you don't have no right for your soul out because you threw up your own carcass. And she said, I said, why would you want a suicide? So, well, you know, Joe, he's wicked. He said, Butcher, you know he's been awful wicked. And I don't have any people my own to go to. I don't have any money to go anywhere. He's drank it all up. Got to where he comes now and brings two or three old women in and put them in my beds and spends the night with them, makes me sleep in the barn with the cows. And beats me up if I say anything. I've lived on it long enough, I'm going to suicide. And preacher, if it won't send me to hell, I'm committing suicide this week. I said, it won't send you to hell. And I said, if you'll suicide the way I tell you, it'll be a good way to go. She said, that is it painful? I said, not a bit. She said, then you prescribe. I said, you fast and pray for old Joe till you die. She starved to death for Joe. She said, won't that be painful? I said, after the third day of a genuine fast, nothing, no kind of food or nothing. After the third day, the hunger pains leave. You don't have no more hunger pains.
Amen.
Your hunger will start eating on the reserve and not on asking for food in your stomach because I've fast enough to know. And she said, I'm starting now. And she began to cook the finest meals you ever eat. But she wouldn't eat. She just prayed. She wouldn't sleep. She just prayed. And he said, if you don't quit that food, I'm going to get a horse whip and whoop you. She said, that's no more than you've been doing. She just kept a prayer. And next day, said, if you don't quit that foolishness, I'm going to leave. Said, well, that won't make no difference. You've left before. And the next day, she just kept a fasting and prayer, fixed him the meals, and fixed him good beds to sleep in. He said, if you don't quit this fool, I'm going to get the gun and shoot your head up. She said, Joe, go ahead. That's what I'm trying to do, is die and get away from you.
Amen.
Just kill me. I wish you would. I want to die. Well, that didn't work. She just kept a fixing meals and a prayer. She's fixing him ham and eggs next morning. By the time she got the biscuit in the stove, she heard old Joe holler. She looked down towards the barn in the horse lot. And old Joe's coming, and a jumping, and every time he hit the ground, he'd holler. He ran in and said, honey, guess what? Said, God save my soul, chucking corn for the horses. He ran in and kissed the feet, said, if you don't believe I'm saved, look. He went over and got a half a case of deer out of the refrigerator and poured it down the drain, went and got a half a dozen corn dogs of whiskey and pulled it down the drain, went and got the Bible and kicked it, and got out and kissed her feet again and thanked her for praying till it got saved, and said this will be a Christian home from here on in.
Amen.
And same God that Hannah prayed to, poor little Miss Pope prayed. And God got the job done.
Amen.
My friend, God's in business.
Amen.
Jesus said, if the mountain gets bigger than the hand, if you won't work, if your heart won't doubt and you hold your faith on it, it'll come out of the way.
Amen.
Even though that's some of the things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Then, my friends, old Hezekiah, God said, set thine house in order, for this day thou shalt die and not live. Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed an honest prayer to God. And God added 15 years to his life because he prayed. Doesn't the book tell you that?
Amen.
Same God is my God and your God and our Father.
Amen.
Have faith in God.
Amen,
my friends, I've seen people. You're looking at one whose lifespan's been extended because of prayer. Five doctors and three nurses stood around my bed and gave me an hour and 45 minutes to live. And I run them all out of the room and look God in the face and in about 20 minutes, I was up and going again. Listen, my friends, I want you to know God is not a business. You may be, but God is. Now, my friends, you say, some folks are going to die and go to hell. They don't have to. You pray with the faith, heads of conflict. God will raise some of these dead sinners up around here. So where is it? And then, my friends, we look again as old Jonah. God said to Jonah, you go to Nineveh and preach to the Ninevites and tell them they don't repent of their sins and sackcloth and ashes. I'll destroy them in 40 days. Jonah was one of these pussyfoot modernists that didn't want to preach against sin. So he didn't want to be unpopular and disliked. He's one of these soft-soaping, ear-thick and back-scratching fellas.
Yeah.
And God began to put on the pressure to go down there. He didn't want to be unliked and unpopular. And the pressure got so he's about to have a nervous collapse. And He said, I'm going to have to go on a little vacation. I'm about to have a nervous breakdown here. And he got out on the boat and was going to go fishing. And he got out on the bottom of the boat and got off to sleep, relaxed, and sleeping away. But God sent a storm out on the water. That old boat began to buck the waves, the water began to splash, and the lightning began to flash, and the thunder clap, and the wind puffed. And they unloaded part of the baggage and said, we better cast lots. And when they cast, it fell on old Jonah.
Yeah.
Jonah was one of these anti-missionary, hard-shell Baptist preachers that didn't believe in going nowhere. They're preaching on people that panic. And so as a result, they tried to unload and couldn't. And they fell on him. They went down the bottom of the ship and said, hey, preacher Jonah, wake up! There's a storm on! Oh. Another cap of thunder in the way. He said, no, there isn't anymore. So again, the lock fell on you. And God's after me, fellas. If y'all don't throw me overboard, he'll drown every one of you.
Yep.
Stop this storm, you'll have to throw me overboard.
Right.
He said, we hate to drown the preacher. Again, I hate to get grounded, too. At that time, another wave of water, that old boat giver at the end dive and splashed water in, nearly sunk it. He got him up there and said, Brother Jones, he push in. Said, yeah, but you better.
Yeah.
They pushed him in, and God had a feast there.
Yeah.
Swallowed him up the way he went with him.
Yeah.
Now, Jonah was such an anti-hardshell Baptist preacher, it took 3 days soaking in a fishy stomach to soften him up. So he's willing to be a missionary and go to Nineveh. But it finally soaked through on him. Down in the bottom of the deep blue sea inside of a fish's stomach, God heard Jonah pray and touched the fish, and Jonah got out. The fish delivered him to dry ground. And he headed out as fast as he run, got part of the way down there and got to think about how unpopular he's going to be in the backslid and spinning on. And God said the second time, Jonah, pull your up! I'm just like a
man.
He's coming. Did you hear me? God heard Jonah's prayer.
Yes, he did.
My friend, sin swallowed up in honky-tonks and hair holes and nightclubs has swallowed up a lot of folks. If you pray on his own jaw, pray down in that fish's stomach, these places start vomiting up some folks around here. They'll start hitting the road for God and the altars in our church houses again. Then I want you to realize there's a cup. Not only, but Elijah prayed. Elijah prayed. Oh, Elijah called on God. He had these 400 prophets, 400 Jezreel's table, 800 false prophets. Only Ahab said Baal's God. Elijah said Jehovah's God.
Yeah.
They got an altar. They built an altar. And Baal, Ahab, his 800 false prophets called on Baal. Elijah said, call Elijah. May not woke him up. They called out and out. He didn't come. Said, maybe he's on a visit. He hasn't come back yet. Call Elijah. Elijah said, call Elijah. May not woke him up. They called out and out. He didn't come. Said, maybe he's on a visit. He hasn't come back yet. Call Elijah. The day was about spent. According to the book, they took shot lances and lanced their flesh and let blood stream out to show the dead arson. But Baal didn't hear. When the day was about gone, oh, Elijah said, you want me to pray to my God now? Said, yeah. You built an altar, put the sacrifice on it, dug a ditch around it, said, bring us some water. They brought 4 barrels, said, that isn't enough, bring some more. They brought 12 barrels of water. And the water was in the trenches and all over the sacrifice and wood. Lord Elijah got back out here and said, to this sinful, unbelieving, wicked generation and know that you're God, would you fire up the sacrifice in the altar? The fire bursted out in the midst of that water, burned up the sacrifice, licked the water out of the trenches, and they cried out, Elijah's God is God. The same Elijah that God prayed to is still on the throne.
Amen.
My friends, we need to pray for God to send some fire up a bunch of our churches and fire up a bunch of our churches. Because we're just praying for a lot of stuff that are burned out of them. Then God, that same Elijah said, I'm going to ask God that won't rain a drop of rain for 3.5 years. And old Elijah prayed, and God closed up heaven and made it as brass or iron, and not a fog, not a dew, not anything come for 3.5 years. And there everything died, the vegetation died, the wells went dry, the animals died. There was a terrible drought on them. And they were so mad, they would kill old Elijah. But they knew he had the secret to the next rain. And they couldn't afford to kill him. had not arranged to kill him. So they dispersed and cussed. Now let them preach afresh. That cussing, criticizing, slamming crowd in your community, they ain't going to kill you. They're just a talking. They'll come, they'll kill anybody with you. Because they know if they kill you, they've done something to start with. So don't get scared of them backbiting, flapping tongues. Don't get scared of that racket crowd. They're not going to hurt you. If you live and forgot, they're afraid to bust. Then my friends, not a drop for 3.5 years. Then old Elijah prayed. But God had sent the rain. Sent a man towards the sea to look. He come back and said, don't see a thing. He said, go look again. He prayed 2 times, 3 times. Man come back and said, don't see a thing. He prayed 4 times. Don't see a thing. Prayed 5 times, 6 times. Nothing done. Don't see a thing. You and I say, well, didn't the will of the Lord to hear our prayers? We'll just unload right here. Elijah had a lot more sense, a lot more faith. He said, go again. He began to pray. Old fellow come running back up here. He said, watch, something in the shape of man's hand. Look, that cloud coming up out of the sea. He said, heat you up and get ready. We're going to have a good washing out here. He liked to wash things away. My friends, the same God that Elijah prayed. You say, but wait a minute, Elijah. I got you there. Because he said Elijah was a man of like passion, even as we are. But he said, Elijah's no different from me and the rest of us. He just got enough heat on his prayer, got up. My friends, I'll tell you, before they send up these rockets and missiles, you have to get a lot of heat under there before she goes off. But when they get enough heat under one of those missiles, that she heads to space. And when you get enough heat under your prayers, it'll get to hitting. Most of your prayers are so cold and frigid, you can't get it sent off. And they're just hanging on base. Just stay on base, that's all. You need to pray and pray and pray. I'll tell you, get that. And then you get up out of bronze. Now, friends, I remember as a young preacher, I can't ever forget it, back out on the hills at Tennessee, they just had a meeting once a year in August, just 1 week, and there was a big annual revival meeting, everybody in the country come. In fact, it'd been 3 months of drought, dust is shoot up deep in the dirt roads, the creeks had gone dry, the wells gone dry, the crops had dried up, and cattle was dying. Come time to have a revival meeting. They'd come and everybody talking about the drought. One day an old deacon had great long did. He did this way. He got up and he said, give up preaching. Said, we can't have a revival. Everybody's mind's on the drought. There's a terrible drought, as you see, here in our community. And Brother Evangelist, we just can't have a meeting till we have a rain. Get people's mind off the drought. And said, I want to call the church to come in the morning and have a sin confession. Let's confess our sins and repent and ask God to send the rain. So we get a mile off the drop and have a revival. Said a lot of people go to hell for the next revival next year. Next morning, the old man, old deacon came down to the little village, had a raincoat on his arm, had a rain slicker, had hip boots, had a rain cap. Going to church.
Amen.
The gossip was on the streets. Said that old grandpa, word over the drop that he's lost his mind. Yeah. Going down the street, not a cloud in the sky. No, sure, weather men say there'll not be no more rain for a month yet. Now he's gone with a rain coat.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't talk about it. They wouldn't say nothing to him. He's afraid of it. And while his great-granddaughter comes skipping down the little old road in the little old village, she had her galoshes and the rain coat and an umbrella. They figured they could die her. Said, honey, have you lost your mind like your grandpa? She said, what do you mean lost the mind? Said, well, he went by the raincoat and the rain hat and hip boots. Now you've got galoshes and raincoat and a parasol and no rain sight. Not a cloud. No sign of rain. No prophecy of rain. Both of you crazy. She hadn't said, hadn't you heard? Grandpa's gone to church to pray that it rains. Now I'm going to be there with him and we'll wear these home. They confessed sin till about 11 o'clock, hot, 104 in the shade, dry, heat, people suffering. I can see him the night he got over in the corner, right in the corner. As everybody got to confess it. He bent his face right in the corner of the church house, he's right there. He began to pray. And I could hear them prayers going up in rafters. Oh, Lord God Jehovah! We're trying to have our annual revival. You don't want these sinners to go to hell. But every man's own body's mind's on the trial. You know God's will as I do. We've confessed our sins and you've forgiven us and we're asking you. God, the sin of God, a rushing rain. Flood this country with a rain. Stop this drought. Oh, Jehovah God, my Father, have mercy and rain so we can have a revival for it's over. And he kept praying. About 30 minutes. And it looked like a boy as he prayed to tight in the corner wall. He stuck. And I'll never forget. I heard a rumbling. I said as a young preacher, oh my God, that's thunder. And I quit praying long enough to peep out at the window. And I saw a black cloud coming where there hadn't been a cloud in 2 months' time. I said, oh God, have mercy on my faithlessness. And before that old man ever got out of the corner, the big drops of rain was hitting on that house. Before you get out and get the quilts off in the wagon seats, a lot of them got the quilts in the wagons with. He brought his in because he's going to stay with rain. He wore that raincoat. He wore those hip boots. The creek got out of the basket. Oh, Father, that old man believed God. The drought was in the way of revival. And he prayed till the drought was over and the rain spread in the country. And folks got saved that night. Oh, Francis, my arms can't move. Then let's switch over into the New Testament. There was old Peter, the preacher. He is in jail. He's going to kill him the next morning. What about the church pray? The scripture said the church pray.
Right, right.
They got up at Mary's house and had a prayer meeting.
Right. Amen.
While there's a prayer, God heard them.
Yeah.
That's right.
They prayed. And God sent an angel to get Peter out.
Amen.
And old Peter's lying there and they're sleeping among two thieves. I mean among the jailers, beg your pardon. Jail keepers. And they stripped his clothes off and chained him. And they kicked him and cussed him and spit on him before they went to bed. My friend, an angel stood by and said, get up. He thought he's having a vision. So that angel punched him and said, get up! He jumped up and the chains fell off, said, put your clothes on, slip shoes on. We're going somewhere. My friends, they got up. And old Peter thought about all those guards, those jailkeepers. But every time when he get down and raise up, that old angel just push him back down, Peter step on him, keep going. Got to the door and it opened. Got to the iron gate and it opened. And he went on down there, got to Peter down to where the prayer meeting was, said, knock on the door. Good night. I'll see you later. My friends, old Peter knocked on the door. And the little girl went to the door and said, Peter's at the gate. Peter's at the gate. Said, oh, honey, think him. It's his angel. Said, angel, nothing. It's him. And he went out. They went out and opened the gate and let him in, and it was. You talking about a bunch of Baptists shouting? They had a shout and stuff. They had to wave him down to the battle. What kind of God? The thing I want you to see, there was the man going to be put to death, but the church prayed up at Mary's house. And God got him up down there and got him out and brought him to him and delivered the preacher.
Amen.
Same God still alive.
Yeah,
I was over in the state of Tennessee. In a meeting, one night a fine young woman got gloriously saved. She come back to church next morning, side door to the church, about right there. She came in, her eyes swollen together. She's feeling her way in, her face all cut up. And I started to get up and pray. She said, Brother Ray, may I say a word? I said, yes. She said, y'all know I got saved last night. And I went home and told Elmo, my brother, Elmo Starnes was his name, told him about Christ. And he hit me on the side of the head and knocked me out in the yard, flat on my back, and stomped me in the face with his foot. Shoe. Heel. That's the reason I'm all tore up, my eyes swollen. Said he said if I mentioned God again, he'd pick a shotgun and blow my head off, my shoulders. And she began to cry and said, I'd rather have him to kill me and him go to heaven than for him to go to hell. You'll pray that I'll have the grace to speak to him again if he does kill me.
Oh.
I quit preaching.
Amen.
I called a prayer meeting. We got on our knees. That church did. We're the praying. We're the praying. We're the praying. And all of a sudden, I heard something sound like a saddle horse coming down the road.
Woo!
I peeped out that front church door. And I saw him coming running full speed. He ran in that side door, run into my arms and said, "Preacher, hold me till I get saved. I'm about to go to hell. Hold me till I get saved. I'm about to go to hell." And they fell around and began to pray, and God saved them all over. He grabbed that sister, kissed all over those places and begged her to forgive him. He said, "I was down yonder in Hatchet River bottom, plowing in a 20-acre cornfield. That two new sisters coming in." Said the power of God hit me. He said, "I didn't drive the news to the end of the road. I didn't take the news from the cultivator." He said, "I left him in the middle of the cornfield hitched to the cultivator. I couldn't wait." God, look at that. That little church prayed there. And God went down and had to rip bottom 5 miles. And man brought him here and saved him. That's God. That's who I'm talking about. That's who Jesus is talking about. It's God. God. Then my friend, an old infidel came and said, "I want you to come to our town hold about me." I said, "I thought you was infidel." He said, "I am. But you the first fellow I ever heard preaching to the hypocrites in the church. What to me?" He said, "They won't let you preach in the church, but you come down there." And said, "My daddy was an infidel. He's a doctor. My granddaddy was an infidel. Ain't never been a preacher in my house, but I'll give you the guest bedroom. Cut hands ain't never been cut if you come down there and preach." Said, "I'll get your lot to preach on." I said, "Okay." Couldn't find nobody. Let us have a lot. He closed his meal down, and it's twice as big as this shed. Closed his meal down, moved the machinery back out. Said, "We'll start on the hill." And I began to preach. Crowds came. Because the old infidel had asked me to come.
Yeah.
Crowds came to curiosity. Week went by and not a soul moved. I went back out in the country where I'd led a lot of people to Christ that couldn't read nor write, but they had faith in God. And I said, "Would y'all come and pray while I preach till we have a revival on that?"
Oh.
"Got no way to come." I said, "I'll send a bus and pay for it myself." "So we ain't got no shoes." I said, "Come barefooted. Who cares? We're not instant shoes. We're instant a revival in that time." They came. They came. They began to pray. Couldn't read the law, but they'd been saved, had faith.
Amen.
One night we wasn't getting nowhere. We started the prayer meeting at 9 o'clock, and somebody prayed till 10. Somebody picked up 10, prayed 11, 12, around the clock, 24 hours. Then went back and left at 10:30, 11:30, 11:30, 12:30, and prayed so there wouldn't be a minute while somebody be on the knees praying, calling on God. 24 on the half hour, and 24 on the even hour. Round the clock, 6 days and 6 nights, got 48 people prayed an hour each. Wasn't a minute what somebody's praying. Hear me, God heard them. Like they marched around the walls of Jericho 6 days, and on the 7 days, 7 times the wall come down. And that night, after all of us had prayed an hour each for 6 days and 6 nights, all 48 come together to pray for 7 hours, all of us together. All 48 praying 7 hours together. We began to pray. Folks believed something had happened. They chartered Greyhound buses out of Memphis, Tennessee, out of Jackson, Tennessee. You never seen such a crowd as came there. Multitudes. We prayed 6 hours and not a thing happened. But when we prayed over in that 7th hour, the power of God hit that town like a tornado. As an old man who had been inside of the church for 20 years, it knocked him out of the bed. He run to that old meal shed in his pajamas. And God saved him. Then several others woke up and come and got saved. I had to go preach at some places on Sunday morning. I got back Sunday night. They was walking the streets, wringing their hands, said it's your office. They ever was. You've gone. No preacher to help us in the whole town tore up. Went back onto that meal shed and began to preach. It broke out, and I didn't get to go out on the meal shed for 56 hours. But 162 got saved while I was there.
Yeah.
Next morning, That night, Mildred Brumlow, the daughter of the leading merchant in town, got gloriously saved, 16 years old. She went home, got her dad and mother up and told them. They belonged to church, but they really never been saved. They're beer drinkers and dancers and card players. They got her up. She got him up and told him, God just saved her. Her daddy got up and pulled his belt out of his pants and took the buckle in and whooped it till she's bloody all over because she went up that meal she got saved. She just went home to bed a praying. Next morning, Marshall Brumlow went down and opened up his department store, put the clerks in to clerk him. But somebody come in, the traveling salesman, try to sell him the goods for the week. He couldn't tell him what he wanted. He'd wipe in tears. He tried to wait on a customer. He couldn't. 10 o'clock, he said, oh, you curse, get out of here, and everybody else, I'm locking this outfit up. He locked it up and went home, found his wife down in the living room praying. He got out in there with her, called in the daughter and apologized for whooping him the night before and asked her to pray for him. She got her mom and dad around the neck, that 16-year-old girl, and prayed until God saved both of them. Her mama went out the back door shouting, her father went out the front door shouting. Right across from there, his house was the cotton gin. And the old Will, where the infidel's son was running at, he pulled the emergency whistle. He's farming of the boiler. Mr. Hanner, friend of mine, said, I run and hollered, what's wrong? What's the emergency? Said, too much religion in town. This blankety blank boiler will blow up and kill the town. I'm leaving town now. He said, we'll have to gin the rest of this bale, turn it on. Said, let it sprout in the gin saws. I'm not turning another wheel. He left town. My friends, that day, by road to 1 o'clock that next day, the filling station, the drug stores, the cafes, business places closed the doors. People walking the roads getting shaved. That night, a through freight on the gym and old railroad come through, and the power got so strong it stopped the railroad truck. Through freight, they all got shaved. Next morning, old man Bear said, if any of you go to that blanket bank meeting, I'll fire you. 11 o'clock the next morning, he closed his big mirror down and said, there's not another wheel turned in this thing when this revival goes at last a month. Y'all go to it, I'm going to. My friend, stand right up on Highway 64 was Joe Baker's long cabin in, one of the worst joints in the country. He's taking in $700 to $800 every night. Had to have the highway patrol to direct the traffic in and off the highway. They quit going up there and start coming down there. Old Joe got mad. He'd come down there and sent word up the pulpit. He'd shoot me if I said anything about his business. God called on me to preach about his business right then. He tried to shoot and couldn't shoot. God shot him. He wound up the altar, flat his back kicking like a dying cat. God saved him. Sent him back to his seat till I could preach. Started preaching. He got up and said, hey, wait a minute, preacher. I said, what is it now, Joe? He said, come to my place and hold another meeting like this and you get through here. I said, I'll be there. We closed that meet and moved to Joe Baker's dance hall. 41 got saved, filled the dance hall down, built a Baptist church out of the lumber, and took the next day and pond made a pastor, took the rest of the house and made a pastor. Hey, my friends, I want you to know God answers prayer. God answers prayer. Don't say that again. I remember yonder, my friends in Valley Grove, Mississippi. I was there in a meeting. They asked me to come out in a big cattle pasture where there wasn't any church of any kind. I went out there and preached a week. We had 39 people saved. Last night, we was going to take the tent down and go to Memphis to hold a meeting out in the open part of Memphis. Started taking the tent down. The old man, a real wicked fellow, come up and said, if you'd stayed another day, you'd have got me. I said, what do you mean? He said, I'd have got saved if you'd have stayed another day. I said, I ain't taking the tent down, man. And I started talking to him, got him down, got praying with him. God saved him. They got to shouting. People gone home hurt and come back and the tent filled up again. 11 o'clock at night. And several got saved. 60 some odd got saved. Little old boy, just little bitty fella, come up and hugged me around the legs, looked up, tears running off his little dirty face. Said, preacher, where you pray for me, daddy? I said, where is your daddy? Said, he's over in them woods making liquor. He runs still tonight. When he come home, he'll have a fit and cuss and beat mom and me till daylight. Preacher, I wish you'd tell Jesus to make my dad a decent man. I said, well, son, would you pray for him? He said, I've done. I've been a praying, but said, I pray again. Jump to him. I said, all right, get down there and pray. And that old fellow got out there on that sawdust again to pray, and tears began to run off his cheek. Got all over me, got all over everybody else. Now, I mean, we all got to pray. A little bit. I had a funny feeling. I looked across to the woods. And I seen a lantern coming. God sent him, show his work. Little bit I looked at his old dog trotting by the pen. I said, that's his dog, he's coming. And I laid my hand over on the little boy's back. I said, he done got on his face in the shavings, praying and crying, with the shavings. I said, son, keep up God's hearing your prayer. He said, you think so, preacher? I said, I know he is. I just know he is. He said, well, I'll sure keep at it. A little bit I saw that old man walk up to the tent and looked at his little boy laying on his face crying for him. He showed his set his lantern down, threw his old chopping axe down, went in and grabbed up the little boy, said, son, what's the matter? Said, ain't a thing the matter. Me, it's you, Daddy. You know you need God. Daddy, why don't you get God in your heart and quit being a mean man to lick a maker? That old man got on out of that little boy in his arms and began to cry on God. God saved him. God saved him. He got up and he said, I want to give 5 acres of land around here to build a church house on. His uncle said, that's my nephew. He's going to give a land. I want to give $2,500 to build a church. And in about 15 minutes of giving up money to build a brick church with 10 Sunday schools, didn't even have a church organized yet. God answered prayer, that's why. God answered prayer. Well, I want you to know, God ain't out of business. It's you, not God. It's us, not God. You do no mighty work because of the hardness of their hearts and the unbelief. Well, we experienced no let you go. They asked me to come to Columbus, Kentucky for a meeting in the tent. Nickname for the town of Stepping Off in Hell. And place big, no bigger than this tabernacle. Got a 2-horse wagon bed full of liquor bottles off of it. It was a drenched with liquor town. River right on the edge of the Mississippi River. And I put up the tent and great clouds come, but nobody would be saved. Night after night, multitudes came, but nobody saved. I got next to them and I sent out messages to prayer mates of mine to pray. And to pray and to pray. Still nothing happened. Crowds came, but nothing happened. Finally, I sent out an SOS call to a bunch of my close-up prayer mates across the nation. And that meant we was going to fast and pray till something happened. We began. The next night, I preached. When I gave the invitation, an old Hicks boy ran in on this side and fell in this arm. He is the ringleader of the drinking crowd and the liquor crowd. He said, God wants to save me, and I've come in to get saved. We got out on our knees, and God saved him. By the time he got up to announce, God had saved him. Old Clarence Jackson ran in from the other side and fell in this arm. He's the ringleader of Carlisle County gamblers. God blows to save old Clarence. And they went to every gambling place the next day and told about Jesus. Went to all the liquor dives and told about Jesus. By the middle of the evening, things was in a stew. The marshal of the town came and said, Mr. Ray, the liquor crowd and the gambling crowd's going to kill you tonight if you don't get out of town. They sent me to notify you to get your tent and get moved before the sun went down, or to tear down the tent, roll you up in it, and burn you. I said, aren't you the law? He said, what can the law do with a mob? I said, you could deputize other people and protect me. He said, I ain't a starting. I said, no, you're just an old pug-nosed bottle sucker, the rest of them. But I said, you go back and tell your liquor crowd and your gambling crowd, they may burn. I'm not saying they won't burn me tonight, but I'll tell you one thing, my ashes will preach God till Jesus comes. I said, it'd be a lot easier to leave me alone than it is to trample on my ashes the rest of their lives in this town. You tell them I said so. I'll either burn for God tonight or they'll get on the one. He said, you don't know them. They'll burn you. I said, they may not. And they made up $25 for an old river rat over on the island, Mississippi River, to come over and do the job for them. Nobody came to the tent that night. The news got out the mob was going to come. Nobody came. Time for preaching. Nobody there. But just about time for it to start, old Jackson and Hicks come running in. They said, preacher, we come down to tell you, if you die tonight, our blood runs in the same puddle with yours. We're going to die with you. I said, no. If I die, boys, y'all stay here and tell the story. Have somebody tell the story. Y'all tell the story. I said, no, sir. You go, we're going with you. I said, do you mind if we pray? I said, no, pray. And then over in the corner, he got out on the knees and just saved the night before two of the wickedest men in the county. They got to praying so dead earnest and tears running off in their face. I said, oh God, I got to help them. And I left him over and fell down on my knees and hugged them up, their heads up against my head, and we had all three hugged up down there calling on God. All of a sudden, God said, it's answered. I said, boys, God's answered. Let's go to the tent door and see the glory of God.
Amen.
We walked to the tent door, and the tent is up here on a bluff about 100 feet high, and right down there is Mississippi River. And there's a motor boat starting. He said, there he comes. That's him, preacher. He'll get you. Going to have to get us, too. I said, well, he ain't here yet. Said, yeah, but he's coming. But just about time he got halfway across that river, as the cloud turned as green as any of that grass out there and formed a funnel shape. And the tip of it just grabbed that boat and speared him. Blowed that boat up against that bluff and broke it off to pieces. And that liquor dive out there where they'd made up them, where they'd planted it. An old elm tree 3 feet in diameter was twisted off about 8 feet above the ground, dropped right on top of that liquor store and mashed it flat. And he'd come up through there ripping trees and houses, jumped that tent, didn't do a thing, it went on the other side ripping things. And 20 minutes after that, old Marion Dodson, the one that gave the first $5, great big old giant like fellow, come down there and fell and began to kiss my feet and begged me to pray for it. God saved me, he got me up and carried me around like I was a doll, all over the tent shouting. A little bit, they come and said, old man Austin owned the liquor store. Want you to come down there. Said, don't go down there and shoot you. I said, he ain't going to shoot. Where's his store? I went down there and he's lying out on the sidewalk kicking like a dog, been hit in the head with the power of God on him. And I said, sir, what do you want of me? This is Percy Ray. He said, get on your knees and ask God to spare me till I get saved. And then if he kills me, I can't help it. But I don't want to go to hell for what I've done to you and to this town. I got down there and laid out on the sidewalk and led him the way to God and hugged him up my arms and God saved him. And then the whole town broke out in revival. At the close of that meeting, the pastor baptized 145 people down that Mississippi River, and 70 of them was past 50 years old. The Paducah Sun Democrat paper had headlines, great big 3-inch headline. 15,000 people witnessed baptized in Mississippi after the miracles meeting. You've never seen such a crowd. Turn out to see that. And they're fixing dismiss, and the police hollered to the preacher, here comes your preacher. And hit me in the window. And I got up there. Was I surprised when the six men had white flowers in the color of the coat? Was the pallbearers? No, I wasn't surprised. I'd heard him pray a few weeks before that. Was I surprised when I seen that old wicked daddy? No, I wasn't surprised. I said, I didn't come preacher's voice to him. I come to preach to y'all. I told what happened back in that Sunday school room. And I said, he's here to get you 7 men saved. You better listen to me. I preached a plan of salvation to him. He's burnt too bad to open. It's getting late. Had to go 8 miles out in the country, Beach Grove Cemetery, out in the country. And they rolled a casket to the door and slipped in the hearse and began to load up. His daddy come and said, I can't follow my boy to the graveyard like it's saved. I said, the hearse is done pulling out. I'll see you at the cemetery. Drove up about 8 miles, drove up that country church. And started opening the hearse and pulling the casket out. His dad went up and said, hey, undertaker, said, if you're in a hurry, just set the casket on the ground. He said, I'm sorry, I wasn't rushing the funeral. He said, I don't mean you may leave the hearse for something else. You ought to sit on the ground. He said, well, you're not going to bury him right now. He pushed back and closed the door, said he could stay in there all night if he wanted to. He said, I don't want him in there all night, but I do want him in there to get saved. He went over and fell around my neck and said, preacher, get on your knees and ask God to save me. I can't see my boy buried, but I'm saved. God saved him. Said, now you can bury him. The funeral director pulled the hearse door open, pulled the casket out. Those three men lined up on each side, got the casket in their hands, and they come in shaking like a drunk, and he shoved it back. And the hearse said, what's the matter, fellas? Two of them were around, one fell in each arm and said, we ain't fit to carry the grave. Said, preacher, would you pray for us too? And God saved all six of those pallbearers right there. And then he broke out and God saved all of y'all. 9 o'clock that night, I had to go into church, country church, and get to Gasland to see how to bury him. But God answered prayer.
Amen.
God answered prayer.
Amen.
You say, no, listen, across the river from there, 18 miles from there, there's a bunch of people out in the field, 18 of them picking cotton. They began to cry, and he said, what's the matter? He said, I don't know. I'm just crying. He said, what's the matter? He said, I don't know. I'm just crying. One of them said, well, I'm lost, and I need to get saved. I know what's the matter with me. We're going to hell. Said, any of y'all Christians? None of them Christians. They got out and got prayer, and one of them got saved. Man, they went to pray and tell them that was how they got saved, and all 18 of them got saved up there in Cotton Patch, and they hadn't even been to the meeting. They said they kicked out a half acre of cotton shouting after they got saved. Listen, friend. God answers prayer.
Amen.
God answers prayer. God answers prayer. I've seen it. I can tell you from now to daylight how I did it. We'd prayed for a week in Mayfield, Kentucky. And when the meeting broke out, the liquor crowd and the beer joints tried to call the police in. And they'd try to drive the car, and God wouldn't let them come in on the street where it was at. Chief of police, old Chief Hughes, said, "Preacher Ray, I cursed the policeman and told him his cab friend come in and said, I got in the car and drove down Broadway. He said, I'll spoke God when I tried to turn that steering wheel, it got stiff as if there wasn't no turning. And said, when it went by that street and didn't come in on y'all, it scared me so bad, I like to have nerves break down. I went back to the city hall and said, boys, get in here and stay till daylight. Let them have it. God will take care of this town tomorrow. I'll tell you, over 100 got saved before morning. Cause people pray. You believe God will give us a camp meeting?
Amen.
Will you pray every day while this camp meeting going on for God to give us one? Don't lie to me now.
Oh, yes.
If you'll pray, what did he say? He said, if two or more will agree on earth as touching any one thing, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. If two or more will agree on any one thing, what? It'll be done of my Father which is in heaven. You believe that promise?
Amen.
You believe that word of God?
Amen.
Then would you join me? There's over 100 people tonight back yonder on the knees praying while I was preaching. Every night I get out here to preach, get up here to preach, there'll be over 100 dedicated men and women on their knees at this hour praying for God to give us a real moving. Would you join them? Would you join us? Would you agree that God's going to give it to us? If you will, we're going to sing a song, whatever brother selects. And while we sing it, regardless of where you at, where you live, you'll say, I'll join in prayer. Now, Brother Gribble and some of these other preachers, Brother Curtis and some of them, stand down here with me. He said, we're two or more, so I want to be at least three of us down there. And then if you agree with us, see, that'll be a throng of us. Do you believe God can shake this country with it?
Amen.
Time
Amen.
Would you join us in prayer? Would you agree with us it's going to happen? If you will, you come and shake our hand tonight while we sing.
Well, right before you start, I believe I ought to say a word about this thing. This message is sent from God for this section. And I believe this is the time God wants to give us a revival in this whole section.
Amen.
And I felt like before he ever got to talking about prayer and making this kind of proposition, way before he ever got here, it's going to be a midnight prayer meeting started tonight by the pastors that's concerned and burdened for their churches. And they thought we ought to start a chain of prayer starting at midnight. Who'll pray from 12 to 1? A layman, a lady. Take from 12 to 1, pray in your home. Tonight, from 12 to 1 o'clock. Not come out here, but from 12 to 1, you'll pray in your home. Put your hand up. One. We'll pray from 1 to 2. All right. From 2 to 3. You got from 1 to 2, sister. All right. From 2 to 3. All right. From 3 to 4. That's a man should do that. 3 to thank him. From 4 to 5. Another man. 4 to 5 in the morning. You're here. Put your hand up, you'll take that time. All right. From 5 to 6. All right. You too. Go ahead, you too. From 6 to 7. All right. From 7 to 8. All right, you got it. Another lady. From 8 to 9. A lady. All right. From 9 to 10. You'll be on your knees in your home. All right. From 10 to 11 tomorrow. All right. From 11 to 12 tomorrow. From 11 to noon tomorrow. All right. From noon to 1. All right. From 1 to 2. All right. Thank you. From 2 to 3. 2 to 3 tomorrow evening. All right. From 3 to 4.